remain standing. Take out your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 14.
Luke chapter 14. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that you are. We don't have to wonder what you think, Lord. Your word tells us who you are, tells us who we are, and it calls us to serve you. So, Lord, I ask that today as we hear from you, God, that you would change our lives. Lord, that this wouldn't be simply words spoken from up front, but words from the living God that penetrate our hearts. And God, that we would not just simply hear them, but move on them. If you convict us today, Lord, that we would do so under the power of your Spirit, under the direction of your Spirit. Lord, I pray for your anointing to preach your word during this service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the official send-off service for Kyle and Shelley. God is calling them to Every Tribe Ministries down in Texas. And so today, this is the service where we praise God, thank God for all that he has done in their lives and through their lives here at La Crescent Free. They are greatly loved by us in this body. And they love this body greatly. They're secure in their future here. Kyle could have a job here as long as he wanted, in other words. And God has always provided, and he always will provide financially. So we're not worried about that. They have good friends in this place. They have family that's near. So why in the world would anybody leave somewhere where it's 23 degrees below zero for Texas? I don't know. You know why? Because only Jesus is worthy to be treasured above all else. Amen. That's why. Let's take a look at God's word. Matthew chapter 10. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then the section of scripture we read. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One of the things that Jesus is addressing here is the fact that love can be used as an excuse not to serve God. We can fear that we would offend our parents or our children if we do what God is telling us to do. We may be afraid of that broken fellowship. Any number of reasons why love would hinder us from serving Jesus. So even a good thing can get in the way of the best, which is serving the Lord. In this section of Scripture, what Jesus is saying is that your love for him needs to be so strong that all other love that you have in your life in comparison to your love for Jesus would be like hatred. He's not telling people to hate your father, mother, sister, brother. That's not what he's saying. We look at that and we sometimes say, well, isn't that what it exactly... No, that's not exactly what it says. Because it's saying when you compare the two. Because otherwise, this scripture would go against other parts of scripture where it talks about laying your life down for your family, husbands and wives, all these other things. So when we look at this, this is not telling us to hate, but rather that our love for Christ should be so consuming that any other love would be almost viewed as hate in comparison to our love for Christ. And that would be our motivation to serve Him, whatever the cost might be. The commitment to Jesus and love for Him must be so paramount in our lives that whatever the cost in relationships or anything else, you'd be willing to pay. I highlighted the word life in that Matthew chapter 10 and in Luke. That word is a unique word. It is, in the Greek, it's where we get psyche, and it refers to the soul. It's the part of the person that includes their personality with all their dreams and their hopes and their goals and their plans. You see the call that Jesus has here? It's not just leaving family. It's leaving all your plans and your hopes, putting them aside if God is calling you to do so. That's hard because I think a lot of Christians are what I call bargain hunters. We kind of want to get the most for the least. You know, we want all the stuff that comes with following Jesus, but we want to get all that stuff at a cost of nothing to us. But that's not what Jesus is calling us to. And that's why I say, sometimes it's easier to die for Christ than to live for Him. And the reason being is if somebody came in, walked in and said, all Christians, please stand up, I'm going to shoot you, I would guess the majority of us would stand up. Yet day by day, we're not so sure we want to give up our comfort, our dreams, if that's what God is calling us to. You see, that's why I think sometimes it's harder to live for Christ than to die for Him. Yet that's what Jesus is calling us to. And living for Christ doesn't just happen to us. It's something we choose. There's another section of Scripture highlighted. Take His cross, bear His own cross. Those things are written. What do they mean? They don't mean hardships and tragedies that come into your life. You know, that's what we usually use these verses for. You know, hard things happen. Well, Jesus said, you know, bear your cross, pick up your cross. And that's not what it's referring to here. It's not referring to tragedies and difficult things that come into your life as just a part of living on a fallen planet. What those terms are used for is there is a sense that there is a willingness and to joyfully sacrifice good things. Pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself. That's what it's talking about. What are we called to deny ourselves of? Our time. Our time. We're called to deny ourselves our plans, as we read earlier, our dreams, our goals, our visions, if that's what God is calling us to. Our personal comfort. Our personal comfort. Why? So that we would better glorify Him. That we would better serve Him. And He alone is worthy. Take a look again, God's Word, Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all. You see what he's doing? He is taking the initiative in a sense that he's going to walk in obedience. He sees this as valuable. And he joyfully, willingly sells everything that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. And in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. The good things that get in the way of the best. All the stuff that Jesus talked about in the other verses. All that stuff. Lay it aside. And sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him. That's how how the Word of God defines the cross. The wrath of God poured out on Christ. He looked upon that. He looked ahead to the joy that as he would suffer that God would make those who would receive the gift of salvation right with him. The joy set before Christ. He endured the cross. It was just what he had to do to get to the joy. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And finally, 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. The root of your salvation, this is a Piper quote, the root of your salvation glorifies God privately. Okay? But the fruit of your salvation glorifies God publicly. Isn't that cool? The root of your salvation glorifies God privately. The fact that you're saved, that God in his grace and mercy extended salvation to you, that glorifies him privately. But then the fruit of our salvation, how we live, how we glorify his name, all these things, those things, the fruit of salvation glorifies God publicly. Why would we treasure him like this? I mean, you're saying everything. I'm not saying anything. Jesus is saying it. Why? Why treasure Jesus above all else? Because he is above all else. Because he is above all else. He is exalted creator. Seated in the highest place. Think about this. Even now, your king, your friend, your savior, seated in the highest place. He is creator. An oxymoron in so many ways. He's a humble God. He is infinite. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient, all-knowing and all-wise. He is omnipresent, here and to the ends of the earth, seated in the highest place. He rules and reigns over heaven and earth and hell, everything. He rules and reigns. We celebrate Christmas and just a week. And one of the things that always would rock my world is the thought that Mary is holding this infant in her arms and at the same time Jesus is holding the entire universe together. Isn't that an awesome thought? So he holds the universe together. This King of glory, your Savior, your friend. He heals the sick. I pray that he'd do that right now for anybody that's sick. Lord, do that. He heals the sick. He saves the lost. He saves those who are in rebellion to him, who shake their fist at him. He saves them. People like me and you and Kyle and Shelley. Saves the lost. He commands the winds. He commands the universe. He is without sin in thought, word, or deed. He never changes. He cannot lie. And he never breaks a promise. You got a book filled with them. Get to know him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. All these promises here. And he is full of grace. And he is full of mercy. And he is patient. Thank you, Jesus. And he is our loving God. Now I ask you again, why would you treasure him above all? What an honor to joyfully serve such a king and to live a life devoted to Jesus rather than the frivolous comforts and pleasures of this world. Sometimes we just have to stop, you know, and reevaluate. Really? I'm investing my life in these temporal things when there's so much more. Find your joy and satisfaction in all that God is for you in Christ. Find your joy there. Not running around trying to look good or have people feel a certain way about you. You are fully accepted and loved by Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Yet we get so caught up in it. You know, our flesh is so weak. Lisa and I were talking about this yesterday, how our flesh is so weak. And we want to be comfortable. We want so much of man's approval, and even though we say we don't, we end up with that pursuit in our lives. And we're so unwilling to be uncomfortable in any way. Our flesh just fights it. And if it costs us all, that's what Jesus is talking about. If it costs us all, what comparison is that with the cost that Jesus paid to purchase your salvation, which comes without any cost to you? What is the comparison? Take a look again at God's words. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Wow. So that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Wow, what a Savior. And Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How will he not? When we look at what Christ did for us, desperately separated from the living God because of our sin, no hope of ever being reconciled with him in our own strength. All our efforts would fall short. Our good works are like filthy rags because they never deal with the real issue. That we have sinned against the holy God, and just being good most of the time doesn't take care of the issue that we have violated God's laws, sinned against him. And we were in a desperate place. There was no way we could ever be made right with God. Our debt was too great. And Jesus was rich. And he came and was made poor, became a man. Fully God, fully man, and we celebrate that coming next week, next Sunday. He became poor for us. Boy, the God of the universe to come and be in the flesh, that alone, wow, what a mystery in the Word of God. Then he lives the perfect life, sinless, that we were required to live in order to be made right with God, but have fallen short so many, many, many times that there was no hope. But he lived that life we couldn't live, and then went to the cross and was punished for sin he did not commit. Why? So that we might be made right with the Father. You see, that was the joy set before him. That's the cross. That's the gospel. And when you compare what he has done for you, is there really any comparison? Can you ever sacrifice really anything? One of the greatest missionaries ever, Hudson Taylor, was a missionary for 50 years in China. A place that Shelley served the Lord in. Here's a quote from him. I never made a sacrifice. I never made a sacrifice. You know why he said that? Because he understood what Jesus had done for him. And he said, in comparison, I never gave up anything. He understood the worth of Christ, the glory of Jesus, who he was, his greatness, that he was above all else, is above all else. Not was. And that he died for him, and he got it. He said, I never made a sacrifice. I never made a sacrifice. 50 years, read about his life. And we're always kind of bringing our checklist to God. I know I am. Well, God, I gave up this, and I just, man, God just recalibrated me this week. I never made a sacrifice. We look at what God is calling Kyle and Shelley to and their family. And it's hard. You know, we don't want to deal with our emotions, you know. We don't want to do that. Because we somehow feel if we say, well, I'm kind of sad that they're leaving, you know, oh, well, and I'm not walking in faith. No, you have a friend that God is calling out. At the same time, they're going to come to say from the depth of their hearts, I never made a sacrifice. And that's true for all of us. Because of who Jesus is, he is worthy. He is worthy. In response to who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we treasure him above all else, no matter the cost. And we desire to make much of him in all we do. That's what it means to glorify God. Brag upon him. Point everybody to him. We make much of him because of who he is. This does not mean that in order to glorify God, in order to treasure him, you have to become a pastor. Or you have to become a missionary. Or you have to go into full-time service like Kyle and Shelley. That's what you have to do in order to fulfill the scripture. That's not what it's saying at all. I will say this. If God calls you, you need to trust him. You know, that's where all of a sudden we know God's calling us somewhere and we don't want to pay the price. You know, God started calling Kyle 3 years ago. We had conversations in that office. I think I'm supposed to go to Terry Tribe. I said, I don't think you are supposed to go quite yet. I don't know if that was lack of faith on my part or whatever, but I. But you know what? I trust God's timing is perfect. And that's the point, that we trust God, that his timing is always perfect and his provision will always be there. As Kyle's fundraising in this last year, oh, you know, I'm only this far. I said, man, Kyle, God sent him. You don't worry about it. He'll bring in the finances. And he did. He is. It's not all there yet, but no worries. God will take care of it. So if God is calling you to those things, full-time ministry, then trust Him. Trust Him. Go. Do it. He's worthy. He's above all else. There's no sacrifice you're making. Go do it. What it does mean is that you're going to give your life for what will remain for all eternity. That's what it means. That we will treasure Jesus above all else. That we will desire Him and put the world aside. And we will make much of Him. That we will live in a way that we will focus on what is eternal, what is of value. What is that? Scripture says there are four things that are eternal. The first thing is God Himself. He is worthy. The second thing Scripture says is eternal is God's Word. So get into it. You want to live in a way that glorifies God, that treasures Jesus above all else, that glorifies God? Get in His Word. Know it. Know Him. People's souls are eternal. Part of the reason why Kyle is going. Kyle and Shelley, they're going to raise up missionaries. Help them in their marriages so they can stay on the field longer so the gospel can be preached. Because why? Because people's souls are eternal. And they matter to God. And finally, godly character. There's the four things that are eternal. God Himself, God's Word, people's souls, and godly character. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: give your life for what He, Jesus, gave His life to. The glory of God and the good of others. Not too complicated, is it? So my question is this: what are you giving your life to? What are you treasuring above all else? When we come right down to it, when everything is stripped away, you know, I've said this before, there's this moment in our existence where we pass from this life to the next. You know, that flash of a moment that happens. And all of a sudden, God calls us home, and we're kind of here, and then we're there. And I've said this, I don't know until I get to that place, but it's in ignorance that I say it, I'm sure. I wonder if there won't be, at that moment, a sense of regret in my life. A sense of regret in this manner. That I'll then really get my head around what it was all about. You know what I mean? Seeing Jesus. And I'll flash back to all the junk that I wasted my time on. That I invested so passionately in. That was frivolous and foolish and temporal. Why, God, did I not live more for what is eternal? So God in His kindness brings us to a place like this today. And He challenges us to do that. So when that moment comes, and if there is a moment of regret, it may be a little less because of what God has done in our hearts today. And in His kindness, sending Kyle and Shelley, He ends this chapter in their lives and in LaCrescence Freed's life. And He starts a new chapter. And He says, now here's what I'm going to do. And it's good for them. And it's good for us. Because it means this: that God is going to work in our lives and in their lives in a new way. He's going to teach us more about who He is and His greatness and His goodness. And He's going to fashion godly character in us and in them. So it's what God is going to do in them and in us. And then what God is going to do through them and through us. Because of what He is doing now. Because why? God's ways are not our ways. But we can celebrate that God has a plan and is for good and not for evil. It is a plan to glorify His great name. And part of that plan right now in Kyle and Shelley's life is for them to go to Texas. And I hope they succeed with gangbusters. I know Kyle said, some people say, well, I hope it doesn't work out so well down there. I hope it works great. Somebody said, well, then he can come back here. You know what? Then that means that it didn't work so good down there, and I want God to be glorified. I want Kyle and Shelley to grow in grace and love, and that their understanding of who their God is would just explode, and that the ministry would be blessed and God's name would be glorified. That's my prayer, that the last thing upon their mind would be to come back here because they see God moving so strongly. And the same for us. That we would say, oh, Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness that you would give us, Kyle and Shelley. Thank you for that season, God, and how you showed yourself to us in them and through them. And now, God, what are you going to do next? Who's that next person that's going to step up? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. You see, God's got it in His hands. And all of whatever we do, there is no sacrifice when we put it in perspective of what Jesus has done for us and who He is. And we say, glory to God, because Jesus and Jesus alone is worthy. He is above all else. And He calls you friend if you're a believer today. Wow! What a God. What a Savior. What a friend. Amen. Amen. We as a church believe that God calls a man and a woman to ministry. We as a church have confirmed that call in Kyle years and years ago. So today we're going to release him from that ministry. So I'm going to ask Kyle and Shelley to come up and the elders to come up at this time. What we're going to do is, because God called them here,